No frolicking in the snow.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The World Economic Forum got underway today in Davos, Switzerland. It's usually a glamorous and happy affair, attracting the top CEOs, heads of state, even rock stars. But this year, there's no Bono, no Angelina Jolie, probably not even much skiing. There's too much to do. On the line with us is Business Week editor Diane Brady. She's in Davos. Diane, dare I ask what the mood is there?
I think the general mood is a real sense of confusion. There's a sense that there's going to be unprecedented government intervention in the next year. And so there's more CEOs and chairpersons than ever in the history of Davos. There's also more world leaders here. So I think you're dealing with people whose industries have collapsed in a way that they've never seen. And they're trying to figure out what will get the world out of this, never mind their own companies.
Well, a record number of world leaders there, but one glaring omission, and that is that President Obama and his people aren't there. What's the response to that?
There, in fact, it was commented on last night. In many ways, the timing of the Obama administration coming in has not been ideal. Valerie Jarrett, who's one of his senior advisors, is coming on Thursday. But in a year when the Chinese premier, the German chancellor, even Vladimir Putin is here, the fact that you really don't have much of a presence from Washington is disappointing, I think, to a lot of people.
Do you think that governments really will work together to help solve this financial crisis, or will there be a lot of talk and then a lot of protectionism?
You know, overall, I think there's an understanding that there has to be a coordinated effort. You certainly heard it articulated by Barack Obama, the sense that you saw just how much the world has moved in sync in terms of the banking crisis, the currency crisis, and they really do have to work together to really coordinate policy so that we can make sure that the dollar remains, you know, strong enough that it has some value, but also that we can be working with China, for example, to see when are they going to get their economy back in shape, because that's so critical to the world market.
Diane Brady, senior editor at Business Week in Davos, Switzerland. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
The stock markets seem to be on a bit of a rebound this week. So far, European shares are 1% to 2% higher. In Asia, the markets closed mixed. The Dow is at 8174. It climbed 58 points yesterday, about 0.5%. The S&P 500 was up 9, and the NASDAQ gained 15 points, about 1%. Former Vice President Al Gore testifies before Congress this morning. He'll be talking about the status of UN climate talks, which come to a head next December in Copenhagen. President Obama declared this week that America is ready to lead on climate issues. But that leadership may bring big changes in how a new global climate deal is forged. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
President Obama's appointment this week of a high-profile climate envoy marks a sharp break from the Bush administration. Bill Anthalis is managing director of the Brookings Institution. He says the two presidents did agree on one thing.
There is a need to cut through the lengthy wait of bureaucratic negotiations.
President Bush attempted to do just that, bypassing the cumbersome UN negotiations with a smaller summit of 20 major emitters, including China and India.
So George Bush had that right. The part that George Bush didn't have right is that they actually have to agree to do something.
The Bush administration never did support mandatory reductions in emissions, and this is where the Obama administration differs. Like Bush, Obama's new top climate negotiator, Todd Stern, prefers to forge a climate deal through a smaller group of major emitters. But unlike Bush, the goal is to create binding agreements, not voluntary ones. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. and by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
We're only in the middle of the week, and there's already a stack of new layoffs. Caterpillar, Home Depot, Corning, Texas Instruments, big companies shedding thousands of jobs. It's a lot of people looking for new work, and there aren't a lot of jobs to be had. Commentator Will Wilkinson says people need to be flexible about where they're willing to work.
Recent psychological research confirms what you probably already know. Unemployment is toxic to happiness. Some studies show that the depressing effects of job loss are even worse than divorce. The blow is not so much about money as a loss of purpose and community. For many, losing a job means much more than losing a paycheck. It means demoralization and loneliness. Worse still, one recent study shows that a bout of unemployment can depress life satisfaction long after landing a new job. Unemployment can leave a painful scar. Staying busy and socially active is crucial, but nothing compares to quickly getting back to work. Of course, that's easier said than done in this economy, and the best advice for many may be the hardest to swallow. Pull up roots and move to where the jobs are. If you're near a city with lots of opportunity, it can make sense to stay put and search locally for something new. But when the one big employer in your small town shuts down, it's easy to fall into the trap of waiting for something to come around the bend, of hoping your congressman will wrangle stimulus money for your hometown's shovel-ready salvation. But the longer you wait for a job to come to you, the worse the sting of unemployment can get. Demographers say Americans are more rooted, less mobile than ever, despite conventional wisdom. But the economy will recover faster if workers are willing to seek out and seize distant opportunities. And despite the pain of relocation, many of the unemployed will recover lost happiness quicker if they recover a little of that lost spirit of American mobility. Job word ho!
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. Share your opinions with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.